This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Cravings podcast with Pete Dillon, online at joy.org.au/cravings and live Saturdays from 1pm on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, exploring all that's finest in food and beverage across Melbourne and Victoria. Sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 35 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street, Carlton. Wine and dine with La Spaghettata for an authentic Italian experience. Pasta, wine, seafood, steak and so much more. Dine in and enjoy the authentic sights and sounds of Lygon Street. Or order takeaway now via Deliveroo, Uber Eats or Foodora. Eat, drink, love with La Spaghettata. Call 9663 6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
Microphone up. Well, hi, Fat Choi, I will be saying. And what else will I be saying?
Chúc mừng năm mới.
That's it. We are talking Lunar New Year. It kicks off next week. It's a wonderful celebration of all things lunar and cultural. And we're going to talk about food. We're even going to talk to Elizabeth Chong. Yes, good afternoon. We are talking cravings. It's 1.5 minutes past 1 o'clock. Normally I would say it's 6.5 minutes past one, and because we've no news today, I'm a little bit discombobulated.
No news is good news.
Well, we could talk about American politics,
but we won't.
Jesus, you were just over there.
I was. Yeah.
How is your mother? And
doing well. Everyone's doing really well. It was great to be back with everyone, and had Christmas with my family for the first time in 21 years, so it was nice.
And how was it? Was it cold? Yeah.
It was freezing cold,
Did lots of turkey and roasting chestnuts over an open fire?
Well, not so much the chestnuts, but yeah, lots of everything else. And it was really good. And spent 11 days in New York City and saw all kinds of shows, had all kinds of, you know, amazing food.
Just did like a big gay tour of New York.
It was, yeah. We stayed in Greenwich Village, so it was a really good spot.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So hopefully Richard enjoyed it?
He did, yeah. And it was really good. So we're going to we'll have a few show ideas that come out of that as well, which will be interesting. So it'll be good.
And we need to say hello to your mother. Hello, Linda.
Yes.
She's in New Providence, New Jersey. She emailed me last week after she'd left you in New York. And She sounded quite crestfallen in her email because you'd up and left and she'd had you home for a few weeks, and I think she was already missing you. So,
that's nice.
Linda, if you're listening, he's back, he's safe and sound, and off we go again for a year of food.
Fine.
And we need to say chúc mừng năm mới.
Chúc mừng năm mới, Pete.
There you go. See, I knew I'd get it. And Gung Hai Fat Choi. Which, of course, Lunar New Year is what we're celebrating today. So Jerry Mai is in the studio giving us a conversation point from a Vietnamese point of view, because it's kind of different to the Chinese in some regards.
Look, I like to use the phrase, it's same, same, but different.
Yeah.
Culturally, Vietnam did come from a Chinese heritage. So we do celebrate the Lunar Year at the same time as they do. Certain aspects are the same, you know, the colour red, the colour gold, prosperity kind of dishes that you share with the family. The red packet, I'm very glad the Vietnamese kept that.
Yes, because it's got money in it.
Yes. But this year's not good for me. I got married this year, so it means that I have to start handing them out now.
Oh, right. Is that the deal?
Yeah. So, last time I was here, I wasn't married yet.
No, you weren't.
I was given red packets.
Yeah.
Who makes that rule?
I want to find out who that person is.
We need to speak to them,
I think. But it just means now that I have to hand out packets to my younger nieces and nephews and then, you know.
You're not allowed to put coins in them, are you?
Nah, it's just all notes, unfortunately.
We were going to have Jason Louis join us from the Flower Drum, but unfortunately earlier today he's had to withdraw. And Victor from Lee Ho Fook was also going to join us, but he might have double booked himself. So we will speak later in the program to Elizabeth Chong. Everybody knows Elizabeth Chong. Yes. I have one of Elizabeth Chong's watch. I'm a fanboy. Right. One of her woks.
Do you? I have her cookbook. Mm. I think we all have her cookbook.
Any household should have it.
It's a standard.
But
isn't
she's the ambassador for the Queen Victoria Market for Chinese New Year. So we're going to speak to her a little later in the program about her experiences, so we'll be able to add that layer of Chinese complexity. But Lunar New Year is celebrated in most of Asia, isn't it?
All of Southeast Asia celebrates Lunar New Year, apart from the Thais and the Cambodians, Laotians, they follow another calendar. So that their New Year is around...
Oh, really?
March or April, I think it is.
So Korea... Does Japan go through the lunar calendar like the Chinese, or...?
No, I don't think they do. I think it's China, Malaysia, Singapore. Vietnam,
obviously
Taiwan. Korea. Did I say that? Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And what's obviously we celebrate our own New Year on the 31st of January, running to a Gregorian calendar. The lunar calendar works slightly different. Do you know a lot about that? How it all works?
Well, the lunar calendar goes on the moon cycle, but every now and again the month of either July or August doubles up. Right. So therefore it either lands this year for us Lunar New Year is very early because New Year's Day is on the 28th of January.
Yeah.
So generally so everything gets really pushed along after the New Year we've just the traditional years. And so when the lunar calendar, like I said, doubles itself either around the July-August period, and then so that drags it out to January-February. Mm. You'll find it either lands at the end of January or early mid-February for New Year's. I think last year was the 5th of February or something like that.
Yes, so the dogs went mad because I live in a neighbourhood that is quite heavily populated with. So diagonally opposite I have a family of, she's a first-generation Australian but Vietnamese parents. Her husband's Australian. Then directly across the road I have a Malaysian couple. Next to them is a Vietnamese couple. Mm. To my right now I have a Chinese family. And to my left I have a Vietnamese family. So I am surrounded.
You must have the busiest street.
Oh, it goes nuts. It goes nuts and it goes nuts all night. Yeah. Crackers and
drinking and
fireworks and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. But it doesn't stop. Mm. And up until just recently I had a dog. My dog has been fostered because I'm leaving Melbourne. We'll talk about that in a minute. So Sebastian's been fostered. So Sebastian hates fireworks, hates storms. Mm. Yeah. So Lunar New Year for him was just...
Terrible.
A traumatic. Nightmare. Yeah. An absolute nightmare. So, yes, I'm surrounded. So I get a good sort of sense of the importance to families. There's probably lots of stories you can tell us about growing up and the things that happened in your family, but we'll hold off on those for a bit because we don't want to spend all of our money too early. Get all the good stuff out of the way. Being back home, Tad, how was your New Year? Did you see it in New York?
No, we didn't. No, most locals don't go into Times Square.
Right.
It's not a very pleasant experience. Mm. Yeah, and I mean, you have to get into Times Square at 9 a.m. in the morning. You're not allowed to leave Times Square. There's no toilet, so I don't know why anybody would want to
How
be
are people
there.
Going through the normal processes of...
Depends.
Evacuation. Can they run into a McDonald's or...
No, you're not allowed to leave. That's the thing. So a lot of people wear Depends. Diapers,
and
nappies.
And just wet themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that fun?
Wow.
Not.
And then you've got to kiss these people and shake their hands and wish them Happy New Year.
I could think of nothing worse.
No,
but,
revolting.
It is, yeah. So most local people stay away. I think Times Square would be full of tourists, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But,
tourists and pickpockets. And
It's pretty secure. I mean, I think it's probably one of the safest places to be if you're going to be anywhere, but New York's quite a safe place anyway. It's not like what it used to be. You know, it's although they've taken away a lot of the fun.
You might have a female New York mayor. Rumor tells me.
Yes, yeah. Apparently, a lot of changes in in the States and in New York. And
well, I like your current, I like the current mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, yeah. because he's a Democrat.
Yeah.
And sorry,
no other reason.
Sorry,
no,
Linda, I know you're listening. Well, I think if he's starting to rally people and say, you know, this whole Trump thing is nuts.
Yeah.
I think he would make a very good candidate for 2020.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think he's, if he starts now, he might.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like one of the things that I was, when I was going to go, you know, looking forward to going home, of course, to see my family and all that. And with all of the changes that have happened in the United States politically, and, you know, you start to think, you know, has it really changed that dramatically? Is it that place I always remember it to be? And so I was a little bit, you know, with a bit of trepidation going back to New York, and I thought, you know, I hope it's still that place I know and love. And I mean, it is, you know, there's still, you know, New York has a reputation for being a harsh and hard place. And I can...
No, it's only slightly neurotic.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, it can be a rough place as far as, you know, people not giving each other, you know, the time of day that sort of stuff. But I saw so many random acts of kindness, like on the subway and people being kind to one another. And I thought that was quite nice to see.
Do you think that is a result of the fact that Trump was president-elect? And obviously
I do. I'd like to think that. I'd like to think people are trying to channel that in a positive way for themselves and for each other. And, you know, and of course, the bad things do happen in big cities as well. I'm not suggesting that it's, you know...
I walked down the street in Melbourne. Well, same deal.
Yesterday. Yeah. You know. But I thought it was quite interesting. And you know, like the shows you see on Broadway, the shows have amazing messages and you know, the art installations are still there and there's still the activism. One of the things I wanted to do and what we did do is we went to the Museum of New York City and they had an exhibit about activism throughout the years, whether it's, you know, for gay rights and
women's
suffrage, civil rights. And you know, I thought it was really, for me, empowering to go and see that because it just reminds you that all those things are part of history and are there and nobody can wipe that out and that will continue. You know?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I said this morning on air, that I think what this presidency will do is actually get us active as far as, you know, revolutions don't happen without people.
Absolutely.
There was no civil rights movement without Rosa Parks. Yep. There was no removal of apartheid without Nelson Mandela.
That's
there was
right.
no change in India without Mahatma Gandhi.
Yep.
You know, there's you look through history and social change happens because of revolution. It
That's
doesn't
right.
happen because of passivity. We can't just keep sitting back and saying, oh, well, it's only 4 years of Trump or it's only
That's
4 years
right.
of Tony Abbott or whatever it might be.
But it might turn out that he ends up reuniting everybody rather than pulling everybody, and you know, apart.
I admire your optimism.
But it's, you know what?
You've
got to
put
it
somewhere. I mean, well, you don't have to look so far. We're going to get in politics. That's just a fun thing to say. Yeah. If we don't have to look so far. We're all Australians here concerned about Trump becoming the president. Well, today he is.
Yes,
he's
no
now
longer president-elect.
He is now the president, and we're all concerned about that. But, I mean, with that concern, we must keep in mind what's happening at home.
Yes.
How did 20 years ago Pauline Hanson get come into power and then come out of power, and 20 years later she's back into power, kicking a big stink? The first comment that comes out of her mouth is the terrorists. First, send the Asians home. So what, I should have gone home to my country?
It's crazy.
And then now she's got another group of people she wants to pick on. So let's focus. I mean, I get what's... I know it was a great joke, Trump, and unfortunately...
Yeah. Unfortunately, the joke is it's now 3 years, 11 months, and 30 days to inaugurate a new president.
Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, a part of it is, what are we going to do in Australia? What are we going to do for ourselves? How are we going to help ourselves?
Yeah, and you raise a really valid point, and we could continue on
this
that for
forever.
A long time, but you're absolutely correct. And the reactions of David Lionhelm, Senator, and Malcolm Roberts yesterday after Melbourne's tragedy, and then the reaction of Pauline Hanson, it just reminds us of how we you're correct, absolutely correct. We have our own issues that we need to be perhaps tidying up our own backyard before we start slinging shit at our neighbours.
But I think it's also important, too, to note, too, while I believe in people having a voice and speaking their voice and, you know, having... you know, civilized protests. There's no room for violence in the protests. Like in the United States earlier this morning, there was some quite heated and it became violent. And I'm not for that at all, even though, you know, it's just not the right way to go about it, you know.
That's exactly right. I mean, it doesn't resolve, it doesn't solve anything. If anything else, it just fuels the whole matter.
Yeah.
How do we get into this very deep political discussion? We're supposed to be talking about happening in food. It's 13 minutes past past one. We might take a little break and come back and start to talk about the food and the traditions of Lunar New Year in Vietnam, China, and elsewhere. You're with Tad Lombardo, Jerry Meyer, and myself, Pete Dillon.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.
We are talking about Lunar New Year. We have Jerry Meyer in the studio. A little later, we're going to speak to Elizabeth Chong, and I don't think there's a gay man that doesn't love Elizabeth Chong. She's like everyone's grandmother.
She is, isn't she?
And you're saying Jerry Meyer's in the studio. Tad's here with me, of course. Yep. Tad will be very soon to be driving this program.
Yes.
I'll just be the random guest that pops up from far north Brighton. So we're talking about Lunar New Year, and we just had this very long discussion while we're listening to that track, which is New Year. Some of the things that are traditional in your family, and then more broadly around Vietnam, things that are put on the table to celebrate the New Year. What are some of those traditions, and what do they mean? You talked about now, correct me if I'm wrong, my pronunciation is terrible, but Ban Te and Ban Chong?
You've done very well, actually. For a 5-second class, you've done really, really well. My wife still sometimes struggles with that, and we've been together nearly 10 years.
Right. There you go.
Tet or the Lunar New Year is a huge celebration of the ancestors, the gods, the legends, and the family. So, for example, on New Year's Eve, a couple of days ago, you would have sent the stove god home.
Right.
That involves lighting incense with fruits and candies.
Who's
and
the
so
stove
forth.
God?
There's a god for the stove. There's a god for everything.
That's great.
So he goes back to heaven.
So it's the stove.
Yeah, so he looks after the stove. Yep. So it's his house. It's his job to keep the house fed and looked after in food and all your cooking and so forth. So every year you got to send your stove god home to heaven.
Yep.
And in heaven there is the emperor and the queen. And he reports to them how the day, your year has been, and look, they've had a really tough year. Can you help them out? Throw them a couple of coins. Yeah, can you give them a little bit more? You know, and then he will report. And then on New Year's Eve we send the ancestors, we welcome the we have an ancestry table where we invite the ancestors back to have lunch or dinner with us. And normally on this ancestors table, again, is fruits.
What do the fruits signify?
So the fruits are gao du yue. So it's basically, can I pray to have enough prosperity for the year? So it's like gao is custard apple, yue is coconut, du is papaya, sai is a mango, so it's part of prosperity, and the big watermelon. So it's prayer in words of fruit, and then we have a whole poached chicken for the ancestors to the table. We have crispy pork belly. We have candies for sweet words will come out of our mouth for the next year.
I love this idea that you can eat something that makes sweet words are going to come forth.
Yeah,
from your mouth.
So for the rest of the year, you're going to say sweet things. In my family, we always have Southern Vietnamese. We always have bitter melon to eat away the bitterness and the horror that was last year and get rid of it. And then
I reckon there's a whole bunch of people that think 2016 was a bit disastrous.
I'm so glad that's over.
Going to be a lot of bitter melon eaten in
this and there's
year.
A lot of pork belly. So around that this time of year in Melbourne, there's a huge pork belly shortage.
Right.
One of the main dishes is for the Vietnamese community is a caramelized pork belly with young coconut water and eggs.
Right.
And then the Chinese, it's all about about roasting the pork. So there's a lot of roast pork belly. If you go on to, say, Pacific House or something like that, you'll find like a lot of Chinese Vietnamese people are picking up their roasts to put on the altar for the day.
Right.
Yeah. So it's huge. It's something so cultural that I'm so glad that I can still be a part of.
Yeah.
Up until about a year or two ago, I was still cooking food for that table with my mother.
Okay.
Now, on those days, I get quite busy sometimes, so I'm unable to do that.
And you get in trouble off your mum, don't you? Because you occasionally work.
Yeah, I get in trouble a lot. And this year, what I've done this year, like the first 3 days, the first, second, and third, are pretty much like the Sabbath. Like you just don't work. You just you go to your family's home. You drink. You gamble. You play. You talk. And then, so for the last couple of years, I've committed myself to doing functions and pop-ups. So the last couple of years, I've been in trouble. This year, I'm going to be in bigger trouble. I haven't even told her.
She's finding out now, is she?
I haven't even told her that New Year's Day this year, we're going to be at Laneway Festival.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. But at least I'll be in Footscray.
Well, exactly. And trust me, I can assure you, you're not going to be short of food to eat in Footscray.
No.
And is it true that your behaviour on the beginning of the year is pretty much what you do around that time sets up what you do for the rest of the year?
100%. So on New Year's Eve, I have a brand new bag of rice in my house.
Yes.
I wash my car. I leave my mother's house because I go to the temple on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. I can't come back to the house after midnight.
Right.
Because I'm not... My star sign most years are not good to enter her house.
All right, so you're a snake.
Yes.
We determined, Tad, you're a horse.
Yep.
And I'm a monkey.
You're a monkey.
Yeah.
This
year. So my year is ending. So I also discovered in the Chinese horoscope that the year... So this year was the year of the monkey. So you're not supposed to have good fortune in the year, in your own year. The next year is supposed to be better.
That is correct. It's really contradictory to what we believe in Western culture, that if it's my star sign, my year, it's my, you know, it's...
Right.
I'm a Leo, so, you know, around July, it's a great time for me. It's only because I drink so much, but it's a great time, you know. But in Chinese and Vietnamese culture, if it's your year, you're supposed to avoid any major decisions.
Oh, good God.
And what have you done?
All the new decisions. Yeah.
You should sleep on it until the 27th.
No, I think my decisions are good.
Yeah.
Yes. But you're not supposed to make business decisions. You're not supposed to do any of that. So the best year is the year
all
after.
The business decisions.
That's great. That's fine. Perfect. Yeah. You're good. You're good.
So it's interesting, though. I think it just seems to me like it has so much more meaning and relevance to a lot of people than what the Western New Year.
The Libra or your Aquarius.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's like I said, it's a religious affair and it's a cultural affair. Mm. Like I was saying before, I still, up until like a couple of years ago, I would cook at home with my mother and prepare all these dishes. You prepare dishes that, you know, your whole family likes, and your grandparents will like. So what does her parents like and what do my dad's parents like, because we're inviting them home for a meal.
Yep.
So we've got to keep all that in mind.
What are family favourites in the my house?
Well, you know, the pork belly, my mum's parents like the – we do have a shredded pork and a pork skin and roasted rice, and you add that to you season, you add it to like a vermicelli noodle salad. Mm, so it's a shredded. So it's really, really nice. My dad's side likes my dad's side's from northern Vietnam, so they have this dish that is pork hock grilled over the char grill, and then you braise that down with heaps of galangal, chili, garlic, turmeric, fermented rice. So we always make that. So, you know, it's all about different things that each family will vary from family to family. But the basic dishes that need to go on an altar or to be celebrated, like a long life noodle or prosperity salad or, you know, pork belly and young coconut water, they're all traditional dishes that every household would have.
Right.
And I love cooking all those sort of dishes with my mum, because sometimes through the year we won't cook those dishes. And, you know, it's really odd because, you know, I came here when I was quite young and I've got two younger brothers and, you know, one's 30 and one is 26, 27. I should know, but I don't.
Yeah.
Ish.
But my youngest brother probably has no idea about all this.
Right. Because he hasn't experienced it.
Though he's there all the time, but he's just... not one it's of those different. Things. Yeah, yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that next generations, when we have kids and people in my generation that have kids, will go back to teaching their kids this, because this could be something that could be lost for us here.
Of course it could. And that, you know, that happens with the diaspora across the globe. You sort of, we see it in all sorts of communities. We're going to have a couple of brief messages. We're going to come back and talk some more about Lunar New Year with Jerry Mai. Tad's going to ask some questions. I'm going to shush for a minute. And then we'll speak with Elizabeth Chong. You're on Cravings. It's 1:30.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
And here we are. It's 27 minutes to 2. Jerry Myers in the studio. We are speaking Lunar New Year a little. In a few moments, we'll speak to Elizabeth Chong, who might give us a slightly different perspective, and I'd love for you to ask her some questions.
Yes, I think I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, good, good. Chukwung Namoy is the correct way to say happy. It's a happy new year. What do those four words actually mean?
Chuk is... Chukwung is like... how do I explain it? Chukmung is celebrate.
Yep.
And Nammo is New Year.
Okay.
So celebrate New Year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've got it right in Chinese. Gong Hai Fat Choi.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Oh, I need to go home and talk to my wife. 10 years.
Hey, Asiatopia. Now, you're doing something at the Art Centre with Victor from Lee Ho Fucht.
Yep.
Lee Ho Fucht, not Lee Ho Fucht.
Yeah.
And also with David Moyle, who is not Asian at all. But,
no, he's a token Asian.
Yeah, okay. He's a Tasian.
Yeah, Tasian. We always need a token Asian.
Tell us about Asiatopia.
Asiatopia is part of the Arts Centre Festival, which starts actually in a couple of weeks, and it goes for, I think, about 4 or 6 weeks. And we're taking over the kitchens. David Moore's taking one of the cafes. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the cafe Veuve.
Yeah.
And Victor is going up to the dining room.
Right.
So while you go to these performances from musicians, actors, dancers all over Asia, and they've all come down. And so we're taking over the kitchens just to produce some food.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're going through these performances, pit stops, so you have David Moore's doing something from Long Song,
yes,
which is part of the Long Grain Group, the upstairs bar that he's doing. I'm doing rice paper rolls and what I do best, Vietnamese street food.
Gui Quan?
Gui Quan?
Yeah.
Not this time.
Okay.
But we will. And then Victor's...
I'm full of Vietnamese words today.
I know, you're really pulling out.
Rolling off my tongue.
I hope my wife's listening. and then Victor's got the dining room upstairs. I think he's got a 6 and an 8 course.
Okay.
And you know, his food's amazing. David's food is also amazing. They're really good guys. I'm lucky to know them. They're lucky to know me.
Yeah, of course. That goes without
more importantly.
And it's going to be great fun. We'll be there. We'll be kicking on at night time there with them.
That's great.
So I think it's going to be great fun.
It's a combination of the art and the
it's art meet food, food meet art, like and it's, you know, they're doing something that's a little different that normally isn't offered.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really good fun. So you can go and watch amazing performances, and I've seen some of them, and it's just blows my mind. And then you can also sit back and have a 6-course meal with Victor upstairs.
That's
or
great.
Come and hang out with me and Victor, with David.
Have some street food, which is kind of, it's what you do at Phnom.
Yes. So we're doing like banh mi's and pho, I think, and David's going to do some skewers and stuff from the grill. I've had a brief look at some of the menus, and it looks amazing, and I can't wait to go. can't wait to try it.
Well, if you're excited.
Yeah.
Do you get excited when you see other restaurants starting to grow? Like we waited for God knows how long for Tim Ho Wan to open across the road. Have you been?
Yes.
I think it's a bit rubbish.
Then cool.
And then there's the one in the Emporium.
Din Tai Fung?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a bit ordinary as well.
I think the thing is that they're a huge change. Yeah. They're franchises now. Yeah. You know, they're...
It's like the McDonald's of dumplings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't think that the love in it has gone... I can't say. I mean, I don't own a chain or a franchise. We have two stores, and to the fact we only have two stores is because we want to be able to quality control.
Yeah.
Getting out of hand 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 times 10 stores for what we do is very difficult.
Sure.
Consistency is the key to the success that we have.
Yeah.
And people say, why don't you get greedy and just open... everywhere.
That takes away your integrity.
Yeah, someone can do that. Yeah. Someone can buy
me
out.
Well, they already have. There's Fur 24 or whatever, that's a chain.
Yeah, and there's Rolled, and that's a huge chain.
And
I think while I'm still in my business, I wouldn't want that to happen to my business.
Yeah. It's interesting, one of the... Tim Ho, what is it?
Tim Ho Wan.
Yeah, Tim Ho Wan. Sorry, they just opened one in the West Village in New York City, and they're during their soft opening, and we went to see if we can go for dinner. You couldn't make a reservation, but it was an hour and a half wait, and I wait for no one, so we didn't go.
I'm not waiting an hour and a half for dumplings. No. So there was queues over here because I could see them out the window for months after Tim Ho Wan opened. I went into the next little arcade. There's a place called Shandong Mama.
Yeah, so good.
Their dumplings are incredible. Yeah, those mackerel dumplings are superb. So. I don't understand. And then when I've been twice to this one because I wanted to review it, and both times it was utterly disappointing.
But I think it's one of those things that you're saying. They're actually up in their chains, and, and when they become a chain, they lose something. Burgers. I think unfortunately,
that's where I will wait. I will wait at In-N-Out for a decent burger.
Yeah, that you pick and choose who you wait for.
That was a long line. In-N-Out.
Yeah. Long line.
It wasn't in and out.
No.
It was in and it's like, it was like the British. You know,
it took a long time to get in, a long time to get out.
The British are passive aggressive queuers. Yeah. So the British get into a queue and then they
just stay there.
They don't moan about it and they don't bitch like about being in a queue, but they sort of get this little snipey sort of, well, it's rather taking a long time, isn't it?
That's right. The civilized way.
The British queue like no other people on earth.
No.
It's alarming. So Asiatopia runs from when?
For us, it runs from the 14th of February to the 5th of March.
So it's a good way to celebrate Valentine's Day, isn't it? Go and see a show and... have some street food.
That's when the Three Amigos would be there. I haven't run that by them. I should run that by them before I use it.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, that'll be right.
We need to come up with a collective Asian word for amigos.
Yeah, we should. Let's think on that.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Let's workshop that.
Well, what we might do is take another brief break and we'll grab Elizabeth Chong on the phone because I'm dying to talk to her about what she's doing at Queen Victoria Market and add to your layer of stories as well.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, the voice of Gabriel Gatte, unmistakable, and one of the very early pioneers of food on television. But he wasn't alone. There was another sprightly young lady who also spent a lot of time on television cooking and educating us on all things Chinese. We are delighted to have her on the phone. Her name is Elizabeth Chong. She is an ambassador for the Chinese New Year celebrations at the Queen Victoria Market. Elizabeth, gong hai fat choy.
You say that very well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And do you understand the same salutation in Vietnamese?
No, I don't.
Well, you're about to, yes.
Chúc mừng năm mới.
Oh,
that sounds
very much shorter.
Well, it's four words.
Yeah.
Four words. It's very much the same as yours. So that's Jerry Mai. She is from Phnom. Jerry's a Vietnamese specialist, a street food specialist in Melbourne.
Good.
And Tad is also in the studio. His voice is American, and he doesn't say any of those words.
No, unfortunately.
That's
lovely. Yes. Hey, so you're an ambassador for the Queen Victoria Market for the Chinese New Year celebrations.
Well, not only for the Queen Victoria Market, for Chinese New Year generally in Melbourne this year. I was ambassador for Sydney a couple of years ago. I don't know why, but now I'm ambassador for Melbourne.
You get a pass.
Hey. Yes.
I want to jump back to your early days on television because that's, I think, how we all came to know you.
Yes.
How did you get into television?
I didn't seek it, Pete. Am I talking to Pete?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, Pete. Pete, I've had a cooking school since 1961. That's going back 56 years. And at that time, I think it might have been even late 1970s or early 1980s, I had a student who was in the executive part of Channel 10, and she was one of my students, and she said, I'd like you to come to Channel 10. I feel you should be on television. And I thought, really? And so I went along, and the next thing I knew, I was on Good Morning Melbourne, and that was with Annette Allison and Roy Hampson. That was a long time ago, and I shook, and I sort of didn't know which camera to look at, but I had to learn, and then Good Morning Melbourne closed, and Good Morning Australia took its place, and Bert Newton liked me.
I was going to say that was with Bert, yes. Yeah.
And I think Bert and I sort of continued, for 14 years, a really, really great relationship. You know, I was with Bert every week, sometimes more than once a week. Sometimes I did other shows with them. And so I've enjoyed Melbourne's television. Well, that was more than Melbourne. That was national with Good Morning Australia. Good Morning Melbourne was just Melbourne, but Good Morning Australia went right around. And then I got known, I think, all over the other states. And wherever I went, people would recognise me because they used to see me in their own living rooms while I was still in their dressing gowns, I guess.
Yes, indeed, in their pyjamas as a young kid.
Yes, and it's funny, they get to know the different personalities on TV as though they know you, don't they?
Well, Jeremiah, you can answer that question. You've done television.
Yeah.
I don't think I've done that much television.
You've done MasterChef?
No. We're trying to get into MasterChef, remember?
Oh, that's right. So which one have you done?
I did Postcards and a couple of things on SBS, but no one recognises me. It's really nice.
It's great. Well, Good Morning Australia wasn't just occasional. It was just every week, maybe two or three times a week for 14 years. And so you do become a part of their lives. People who switch it on in the morning for company, and I was told by many that they used to always turn on their television in the morning when they knew I was coming. And that was really nice.
Well, there is a sense of a relationship with you because of... I guess because you have been in our living rooms for so long, I was saying earlier, it was you're sort of like a pseudo grandmother for me. Just watching you cook, and I always wanted to cook, and so I became a chef. But watching you cook on television, I think was there was almost a sense of inspiration to say, "Oh my God, you know the food for a young country kid was quite exotic."
Thank you. Oh, that's really nice. Thank you very much for that, Pete. And I often get surprised by people who say, and I sort of think they're the same age as I am. I forget what age I am, and they'll say to me, "Oh, I used to watch you instead of watching Kindergarten on the Air, and I used to pick you." And I thought, "Oh, I didn't realise I was that old." But this is happening very often now, and I think that's lovely. They still remember me from those early when they were kids, when they like yourself.
Well, you also brought a new style of food to us, because again, I was in the country. I was we didn't have a great palate. Everything was meat and three veg. So to get a sense of something different.
It's almost exotic, isn't it, to think of something that's different from meat and three veg. And I think I have a knack of making it very, very available and easy for anybody to do, you know, because I cook fairly simple food, good food, but I'm not one to go in for complex, long preparation dishes, you know, and I think that's probably had a bit of an impact, that people were cooking what I would put on television. I think at one time they sort of did surveys, well, they did them regularly, and more people would want my recipes, I think, because they were easy to execute.
Mm. Some of the traditions that exist for the Chinese New Year, Chinese New Year celebrations. What are some of those traditions?
It's a fabulous time for eating. For Chinese people, it's a fabulous time. It's almost like the one time in the year in which you can indulge and feel great about it. You can also spend a lot of money, or as much money as you can afford, because it's the right time to do so. And you do it in the company of your friends and your family, particularly, you know, it's a reuniting of families that you might not have seen. They've lived overseas or interstate, and they make a big effort to get together. So that's part of the joy as well. The foods themselves are the best of everything, and when you think of that, you think of wonderful seafood such as crayfish and prawns. Prawns is actually ha in Chinese. That's the name. That's the word for prawns, and it's got the same sound as laughter. Ha ha. And so it's symbolic. Chinese food is symbolic. New Year even more so. So Lung Ha, that's the crayfish, is big laughter, lots of laughter. And so we love all sorts of seafood at that time. And what New Year table would be without roasted meats? You know, the roast duck, the trinity of wealth, the pork, roast pork, crackling pork, fish and chicken. And the fish is symbolic too, Pete, because the fish, when it's served whole, represents more than enough, because the Chinese word for fish is yu, and that has the same sounding as abundance or more than enough. So that augurs well for the next year. But if you chop off the head or the tail, well, then you're chopping off your luck. So you have to serve the whole fish. Mm. And it's very, very symbolic, and we sort of take it all in, even though I think I'm a very modern person. At Chinese New Year, I sort of, when I'm eating those, I sort of take them to me as all being for good things for the next year.
Jerry, that's not unlike what you were talking about with your family.
No.
We have some traditional things like, what's it called, fat choy, which is like a dried moss, and that's teamed up with pig's trotters. And dried moss, fat choy, has the same sound as prosperity, and therefore when it's done with pig's trotters, it's called prosperity in the hand. So that means a lot of money for next year.
We were talking to Jerry before we you joined us, Elizabeth, and she was talking about some of the traditions in Vietnamese culture, which are sounding quite the same.
Yeah, they're very similar. Yeah, it's probably going with dishes that have names that represent certain things or mean certain things that we celebrate with. But my most important question is, what time should we come over for dinner on New Year's Eve?
Well, I will hope someone else will cook for me, or I'll go to a restaurant.
Haven't we decided we're all hitting flower drum?
Yeah, that's right.
The New Year dishes involve a lot of work, and I'm not going to cook all day. As I remember, my mother and grandmother used to be toiling for days before New Year, you know, so that they wouldn't have to cook on New Year's Day, because you're not supposed to have any sharp implements on New Year's Day. You know, knives and scissors are not good. It's killing and it's cutting luck. And okay, so they prepare everything ages before. Dumplings, sweet dumplings, a lot of sweetie things. I remember Mother used to say, I can't cook anything that's sour or bitter on New Year's, all the celebrations.
Was there a reason?
Well, because you don't want to have a sour or a bitter year. Mm. So you have everything sweet. You have lots of sweet things.
They're beautiful stories. Elizabeth, you came to Australia when you were three, is that right?
What's that?
You came to Australia when you were quite young?
Yes, I did. And that was just as a result of the White Australia policy, actually. We've almost forgotten that existed one time. But my father was Australian-born. My grandfather came out here in 1853 and was virtually a pioneer of northwestern Australia up in Wagunya.
Mm-hmm.
You know Wagunya?
Yeah.
Up next to Rutherglen. Yeah. And he became a road contractor and owned the general store there. And my father was born there, so that made him an Australian. But he married in China. And my mother, Australian, is Chinese, you see, Chinese-born. And but he brought her out to Australia, and they had my eldest sister and my eldest brother born here. And then when she was pregnant with the third child, the White Australia policy said that all Chinese-born people had to go back to China. And so my father had to sell up, and everybody went back to China. And about 3 or 4 years later, I was born in China. And when I was three, he was able to get a visa out for my mother and myself, who were considered to be aliens then. But my other brothers and sisters are all Australian-born. So that's how it came about. But coming up at three, Pete, I don't remember China then. Australia is my home, and English is my language.
Yeah.
Because at three, that's all you know. But I've inherited all sorts of cultural things.
Is that coming from your mum or from your grandmother?
Yeah. Both. And my father, actually, even though my father was Australian-born, he spent his early years in China and came back and started businesses in Australia. So he was sort of he was uneducated, Chinese way and Western way, which is amazing. This was the way his life was, because he became one of the most successful businessmen in Chinese businessmen in Australia, and he was, well, I suppose, illiterate in both languages, and yet I remember reading the newspaper to him every day, and he taught me to be very proud of my heritage, but at the same time, he's a very modern man, and I was given the best of everything that Australia can give, so I had the best of both worlds.
Well, it sounds like we're all richer for the experience. So your role at Queen Victoria Market for...
Yes. Yeah, at noon on the 28th, I shall be cooking on the stage and talking. And then at 3 o'clock, I will be at Queensbridge on the same day, that's the 28th of January. And then the next day, the Sunday, the 29th, I will be at Queensbridge again. And then again on the 12th of February at Queensbridge.
Where do you find your energy?
Can I say Chinese food?
Well, you probably could, because if that's the secret you want to know, because I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, but you're 85.
I know. Nobody believes it when they
either.
Talk to me or see me.
No.
I don't know. It's a little bit of a puzzle. And I don't particularly think about it. It just is. And I know that people are always... Some people call it bizarre, actually, but I'm 85.
Really. We're all just sitting here. If you could see the faces on the three of us, we're all just sitting here shaking our heads. Elizabeth, we have to go. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'll say it again. Gong Hai Fat Choi.
And Gong Hai Fat Choi to you and all of yours.
Gong Hai Fat Choi.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
To you also. Good. Bye-bye
for now. Elizabeth Chong. She is at Queen Victoria Market. You heard those dates. She's remarkable for 85
amazing.
Years.
She's amazing. I see her at Queen Victoria Market when I go there to shop or in Richmond. And I have to admit, I'm a bit of a fangirl. I kind of look at her and go, oh my God.
I have one of her walks.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one day about how I came about that. It is 4 minutes to two. We need to play a few little notes and then we'll wrap up.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
I cannot believe that Elizabeth Chong is 85.
I hope I look that good at 85.
I hope I've got half
absolutely.
Their energy at 50.
50. Oh.
Good God, she's incredible. So you can go and see her at the Queen Vic Market. She's a good bird. She's fun.
Yeah, I bump into her, so I'm going to say hello next time. Yeah, instead of just like swallowing my tongue and googly-gagging, and I'll say hello.
So now people want to get in a bit more information about Asiatopia. What would they do? Go to the Art Centre website?
Yes, go to the Art Centre website.
They want to know a bit more about Phenom and what Jeremiah is doing?
They can go to Phenom website. We're also hosting a Tert dinner on February the 2nd at our Emporium store. It's an early dinner, 6 o'clock dinner. We'll have lion dancing. We'll do 6 courses of dishes and that I celebrate with at home, and with other family members, and so I'll put that on the 6 courses, 5 courses. I keep getting in trouble because I keep increasing the courses.
David's losing his mind. A bloody food cost of
yeah. David and Olivia are losing their minds at me. So we're hosting a dinner on the Thursday the 2nd. So to book, just email jerry@phenom.com.au.
Excellent. I think we should go, Tad, because that's part of my farewell tour now.
Yeah, definitely.
This is my... There's two more episodes of Cravings where I'll be in the studio.
Third to last, yeah.
It's my third to last. So I'll be here next week, and then the following week we'll have a bit of a knees up because I will be moving to another state, but I'll still be doing the show with you. Coming up on the Escape Pod, the boys are going to take you to Jordan and Israel, to the thriving gay populaces that are Jordan and Israel. I think Tel Aviv and Amman are the two places they'll be exploring. Have you been to the Middle East?
Not to Israel, but I've been to Pakistan and Dubai. And
No, I
Gay life in the Middle East. Not something that I imagine. It's not a gay destination holiday.
Not something I want to go to.
But I'm sure Russ and Andre will entertain you and tell you a bit more information. Tad, we'll be back next week.
Yep.
No idea what we're talking about, but we'll be back next week. Jerry, always good to see you, darling.
It's good to see you.
That's us done. This has been Cravings. He has been Tad. I've been Pete. We will be with you next week. Until then, have a very good Saturday afternoon.
Thanks for listening to another Cravings podcast with Pete Dillon, online at joy.org.au/cravings and live Saturdays from 1 p.m. on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Exploring all that's finest in food and beverage across Melbourne and Victoria. Sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 35 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street, Carlton. Wine and dine with La Spaghettata for an authentic Italian experience. Pasta, wine, seafood, steak and so much more. Dine in and enjoy the authentic sights and sounds of Lygon Street. Or order takeaway now via Deliveroo, Uber Eats or Foodora. Eat, drink, love with La Spaghettata. Call 9663-6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.